Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. You already know what time it is. It's that official time. When we take this worldwide. Let's go. Listen. So now it's time to turn it up. Surf the radio waves as we begin to burn it up. We all up in your area like landscape, definitely bringing you the power slamming pancakes. It's a mandate that you tune in. It's time to move out so we can move in and recognize that this is no illusion. I'm here to clear the air so that there is no confusion. It all started off in the book of Genesis when Jacob was wrestling with who he thought was his nemesis. And when the man saw he couldn't overpower him, he touched his hip but he really could have devoured him. And from that point then we hear a name change, rearrange the game, so now we gotta change. So I'm here to let you know it's time to listen to the Pancake and Power Slam Show. Let's go!
Turn it up, turn it up. It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam Show.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam Show.
Turn it up.
Indeed, it's the Pancakes and Power Slam Show. We are here live on a Tuesday night, episode 104, ladies and gentlemen, 104 episodes strong, Derek.
104, did you say 104 episodes strong? This is it. This is Pancakes and Power Slams, the new Tuesday night Titans that we like to call it. You had so much fun here. We've had a lot of surprises, just so much going on. Tuesday night, 11 to 12:30 Eastern Standard Time. And you can't ask for much better when it comes to professional wrestling talk. And I don't want to say rubbish and what do they call that, gossip. No, we tell the truth here. We talk about the old school. We talk about the new school. We talk about the middle school. It's all good here. Tuesday nights, this is where you need to be. 347-84452, Chris Featherstone, what's going on?
Absolutely, you got it. You got it all together. You covered all of the points there that needed to be covered. Absolutely, the new Tuesday Night Titans, and I am very happy to be a part of that new Tuesday Night Titans line host the new cast of the new Tuesday Night Titans. I like that. And we've been calling ourselves that, I don't know, probably a couple months now, so I like it. It's sticking, and good stuff. So all right, well, ladies and gentlemen, we are going straight to the trivia. The trivia is, what year did Ricky Steamboat suffer a concussion by Jake Roberts? What year did Ricky Steamboat suffer a concussion by Jake Roberts? Did you say 1987?
I think so.
Why are you answering?
I'm not supposed to.
He does it again, ladies and gentlemen. He does it again.
Yes, in your face.
But that is the wrong answer. Boom!
Yeah, I know. It was an 88.
No, but that's the wrong answer, too, and you're still saying the answers.
No, I was trying to trick everyone. 1986 was the year. Wow.
Hey, you keep saying the answers. Oh, my goodness. Help me. Pancakes and Power Slams, listeners, please help me out with taming Derek. I have no idea why this guy continues to say the answers. It is 2 years. We've been here almost 2 years, and he continues to say the answers. I have no idea why you keep doing that. It's sad. It's sad. I know that there's a couple that you know, maybe a few, and you want to just blurt them out, but you know the drill. Every week it's the same thing. Chat room gets the first dibs, and if they can't answer, and, well, Twitter as well, chat room or Twitter, if they cannot answer, they get, then you get
I'm getting
the
everyone
answer.
Ready. I'm getting them psyched. I want them
You're
to know
getting
how
everyone ready. Sure. Okay. But the correct answer was the third Derek guess, 1986, when Ricky Steamboat got a concussion by a Jake Roberts DDT. That was one of the best feuds of the year that year. And it definitely was something that was very it was very tense. It was a very tense feud. And it was something that at that point in time, you kind of thought there was some realness to it. And Jake Roberts always had an affinity, had an ability to do that, always had an ability to bring such a realness to wrestling, to his persona. And I absolutely love it. And I definitely think that he is well-deserved of being in the Hall of Fame. And we will get into the newest edition of the
Hall
of Fame.
Fame now?
Yeah, we'll talk about that. And I'm going to let you know, when we get there, there's a disagreement that I have with that. So we'll get to that. We will get to that as far as the newest addition to the Hall of Fame is concerned. And I will get to the way that I feel about that, the newest addition. Flavor of the Week, I'm really excited to talk about the Flavor of the Week as well. The Flavor of the Week is WrestleMania 17 and 18. We've talked about 16 WrestleMania so far, Derek. How about that? And well, the past the time just continued to fly. We have talked about the past 2 months. We've talked about WrestleMania. So now
it's been a while.
17 and 18, and I'm really, really excited about this Flavor of the Week because 17 is my favorite WrestleMania of all time, and 18 was a bust to me. We'll talk about that later on in the show. 347-884-8452. Once again, 347-884-8452 is the number to call live. Go live on the chat room where we have all the trivia and all the fun mumbo-jumbo that happens in the trivia and in the chat room. Of course, as we do every week, if it's worthy to be said live on air, you would definitely get some props live on air of your comment that the whole world can hear. And we also have Twitter, at Crave Wrestling. Let us know your thoughts on Twitter as well. Once again, 347-884-8452 was the number to call live. It looks like people are coming into the chat room, loading live. And since people are coming in, the next question is, who were the three members of the Jersey Triad in WCW? Who were the members of the Jersey Triad in WCW? Three members, of course, Triad, three members. There were three members of the Jersey Triad in WCW. Who were they? All right, let's get to Raw. Again, call live, 347-884-8452 is the number to call. Chat room, your thoughts live will be said live on air if appropriate, and you will get live on. You will have your thoughts said live if you call in, and you know you will appropriately. You will have the opportunity to let us know your thoughts on Raw. And again, that number is 347-884-8452. And tweet live. We do this live. Tweet at Crave Wrestling. We also have a lot of fun with the live tweets as well. All right, let's get on to Raw. Stephanie McMahon cuts an in-ring promo, interrupted by Randy Orton, then Batista. Very, very interesting jabs on Stephanie McMahon. Now, I know that's the writing is scripted, but at the same time, it's very interesting to see how certain things are allowed and certain things go below the belt. And yeah, and just the shoot style, the shoot style feel to it, which I really, really like. The jabs that Batista was giving Stephanie McMahon. It was really funny, and I really liked it. For some reason, I mean, I understand why they're deciding to have this Batista-Randy Orton feud still. I actually think it would have been better if they both were a part of the Authority, because it would be more against Daniel Bryan. And basically, Daniel Bryan beating Randy Orton, Triple H would have, you know, could have said, you know, well, since you two can't get it done, I'm going to do it myself. Kind of what he did say. But if Batista and Randy Orton dislike each other, it doesn't make much sense because they're both heels. Yeah, they're feuding for the title, but I think they could be a little bit more creative with this feud instead of Batista saying, "Hey, I hate you, Randy Orton, blah blah blah. How about that? Hate me back." And Randy
blah,
Orton
blah,
in his
blah.
Monotone, and exactly. And Randy Orton in his monotone, "Well, Batista, I hate you too." I mean, I'm not interested, and obviously just about everybody else wasn't interested, and this is the reason why a third member has to be inserted. So the whole Batista and Randy Orton hating each other still, I'm not really buying it. And they're both heels, and I don't see anything coming forward from the Batista-Randy Orton feud. The match, and it's so interesting of WWE decided to count their losses, because we're going to see, because Randy Orton and Batista is advertised for next week, so that was supposed to be at WrestleMania originally, and so they count their losses, and that's going to be a match for next week. So, with the whole Daniel Bryan and Randy Orton, the whole Batista and Randy Orton hating each other, I'm not really buying that.
Nobody's buying that. That was probably one of the worst intros of Raw I've seen in a long time. And Raw had some pretty decent matches last night. But just the intro to it, 15 minutes in, it's like, this is still going on. Stephanie McMahon and RKO, Batista going at it. I don't like you very much. It just sounds ridiculous. No one's buying it. No one's buying Batista's return. No one really cares that he's back. Nobody really wants him back. And this RKO is just as dull as he usually is. So, again, that was such a horrible intro to Raw. For them to wrestle before the WrestleMania, they don't know what to do with this. They really don't. They're scratching their heads to this day. What have we created?
Yeah, totally. I definitely think that Daniel Bryan being inserted in the mix definitely is a relief. And like I said, they had to count their losses, so that's just the way it had to be. Christian defeating Alberto Del Rio, Sheamus, Dolph Ziggler to become number one contender for the Intercontinental Championship. However, WWE.com announced that he was pulled from the match on main event. And so I really don't understand why they did that. Maybe setting up for a match at WrestleMania possibly. And to be honest with you, I actually wouldn't be opposed to that, because both Christian and Big E being in the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, Christian, he's on his last leg, so I don't really care about him being, and many people know he's a big Christian fan, but I'm not too big on him anymore. He's just on his last legs, and he's on borrowed time at this point. But Big E's one of the future stars of the WWE. Just throwing him in the Battle Royal, knowing that he's not going to win, is not a good idea. So if this match between Christian and Big E was set for WrestleMania, I'd be totally fine with that. I think that, and I say this all the time, this is 104 episodes, I've said this all the time, the WWE should showcase the mid-card championships, period. They should showcase the mid-card championships. Obviously, from what we saw on Raw, the U.S. championship's not going to be showcased on Raw because of what was confirmed as far as a match is concerned. So a mid-card championship has to be showcased. So if we see Big E Langston versus Christian, hey, I'm fine with that. As long as Big E goes over, he has his WrestleMania moment as Intercontinental Champion, I'll be totally on board with that.
Oh, yeah. You know, Big E Langston, he's got a future ahead of him. And Christian, I really want to see him do well. I love the fact that Christian won that last night. However, it's going to seem like to be another bust and a build-up for Christian. Beautiful match. Ziggler, Del Rio, Sheamus, and four-way match. That was just absolutely a really phenomenal match, showcase of talent. But they could do so much more with that match and to put something like that in a WrestleMania or something. But to me, that was kind of a breath of fresh air. It was a great match. Christian, I love Christian, but I'm not too sure that I want to see him used like that. But as far as Billy Langston goes, he's got a lot going on for him. He can really make the Intercontinental Championship a keeper. But I just hope that the booking keeps up with what they can do with Billy Langston. So keep that going and keep that in mind.
Yeah, I totally agree. Looks like the Crave Wrestling admin did one of your moves and said the correct answer for the Jersey Triad, Bam Bam Bigelow, DDP, and Canyon, WCW. They were like, they did like the Freebird rule with the tag team championship, and yeah, definitely an interesting Freebird. Who did the Freebirds feud with back in the 80s, and in what promotion, Derek?
Probably the Von Erichs and WCCW.
There you go. And what did WCCW stand for?
World Class Championship Wrestling.
Yes, World Class Championship Wrestling. World Class Championship Wrestling had one of the best intro theme songs in pro wrestling history. That theme song made me want to go to some type of amazing live college band. Or something to that. I absolutely love the WCCW theme song. I wrote an article about that last year on the Bleacher Report, and I was surprised that many people agreed with me as far as that is such a sleeper. So we got an affirmation in the chat room. Yeah, I mean, I definitely. It was something about the WCCW theme song that made me just want to, like, put on some type of cadet suit or something like that. It was amazing. It was a great lead-in to a WCCW program. It was just amazing. It was simple. It was like the same thing. It was a loop. But it was just—it was amazing. I absolutely loved the World Class theme song. Do you remember that theme song, Derek?
Yeah, it was like something like that. I don't know.
No,
but anyway,
not
yeah,
too much.
I bet it was pretty phenomenal.
You had the drum.
I didn't have cable back in the day. I had to read about it. I had to read about it in Pro Wrestling, CWI, Pro Wrestling Illustrated. And
Yeah,
PWI. WWF magazine and stuff like that. So
totally.
I had to read about
totally.
It because I got Fox and I got WWF and that's it. So
yeah, yeah. Well, I watched World Class when I was a kid. The Von Erichs and the Freebirds and the Missing Link with the green face.
Yeah.
And you had Bruiser Brody, of course. You had Cactus Jack when he was in WCCW. There was a lot of people. Shawn Michaels even had a run in WCCW. And there was a lot of people who went through Texas that were legends now. And Hall of Famers and former world champions. Undertaker had a run in WCCW.
Yep.
We had someone who said Brody. Just mentioned Bruiser Brody, and yeah, and I take her. He was in a mask. For some reason, I don't remember exactly what I forgot. It slipped my mind what his name was in World Class. It's gonna come back to me, but I don't. It slipped my mind as far as what his name was in World Class, but it'll come back to me. But he did have
It was the Coffin Maker.
No, it was like Texas Red. Texas,
yeah.
I think it was like Texas Red or something like that when he was in World Class. Anyone in the chat room or Twitter, I'm almost positive it was Texas Red. And he was like in a mask, and he had it was like around 84, and he feuded with Brody too, if I'm not mistaken. So, yeah. So Taker's been wrestling now for 30 years. How about that? He was a 19-year-old kid, it was a 19-year-old kid. His birthday was yesterday, as a matter of fact. Happy birthday to The Undertaker. But he was – thank you, chat room. Yes, thank you. Texas Red. It was Texas Red. But, just a little scrummy kid, 19-year-old kid, wrestling in Texas for World Class. And, Texas Red in a mask. And so, there's a lot of people who went through the Texas region and World Class with Fritz Von Erich, and he's one of those promoters that had to be him or his family had to be the spotlights of the promotion because they just didn't have enough faith in anyone else. Just like Gagne with AWA, I mean, he had faith in Bockwinkel, but Bockwinkel was really the only person he had faith in for a long time. It was always Bockwinkel and Gagne, Bockwinkel and Gagne. And Gagne, he had like so many daggone title reigns in AWA, and he was like 88 years old still wrestling, it seemed like, and yeah, he was in his 50s when he had his last reign in the AWA. And no, it was no good. And same thing with the Von Erichs. Fritz was still wrestling in the memorials, and he was still up. He was up in age and still wrestling. And, of course, Kerry Von Erich was the man in World Class. Kevin was too. He wasn't as popular as Kerry was. Kevin
what was Kerry
was
Von Erich's name? What was his moniker?
He was the modern day warrior.
I thought it was a dingo warrior.
No, he wasn't the dingo warrior.
I know,
he was the ultimate warrior.
It hurt.
speaking of dingo warrior, he went through World Class as well.
Yes,
so
he did.
Yeah,
and with the Stink. So
yeah, well, no, that was UWF with him and Sting. That was Universal Wrestling Federation with with your boy. What was his name? Cowboy Bill Watts. Bill Watts, yeah. Cowboy Bill Watts with UWF. They were the Blade Runners, if I'm not mistaken, and they were with Hot Stuff International with Eddie Gilbert. So UWF, and yeah, man, just all those older federations, they still have a lot of prestige to them. They still have a lot of history to them. The UWF, AWA, World Class, even GWF. I remember catching up. I remember watching GWF back in the day, and when that was the first time I saw Sean Waltman when he was the Lightning Kid. And it was the first time I start liking the Ebony Experience, which, of course, were later known as the Harlem Heat. And, that's when I start liking Booker T. This was around 91, 92, when I started to become a Booker T fan back in the GWF. And Jerry Lynn was in the GWF feuding with the Lightning Kid. Sean Waltman had a good feud there. Even Butch Reed had a little run in the GWF. Raven, when he was Scotty Flamingo, he had a good run in the GWF. GWF was a very interesting promotion. It only lasted for 3 years, but it was on ESPN. That was the last ESPN wrestling programming that they had. That was 20 years ago. I guess after that, they were like, we'll pass. At that time, I think ESPN started in 1980, if I'm not mistaken. So they were still relatively young back in 91. So I'd imagine they wanted any type of programming that they could. And just the fledgling wrestling organization, the GWF, and they had some money behind it, but it didn't work out too much. They were in
the Do you think the WWE will ever merge with ESPN or maybe ESPN2 in the next few years? Remember the XFL?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. However,
with their own network, probably not if that thrives.
Exactly, and with the network, and that's the thing. However, there was a talk before that because TNA and Spike. At a point in time, it was rumored that their partnership was ending, and ESPN2 was one of the candidates, of possibly airing TNA. And I wouldn't be opposed to that. I wouldn't be opposed to ESPN2 airing TNA. I think it actually helped them. I mean, Spike TV, as far as their demographic, it's a perfect demographic for TNA. But ESPN is ESPN, though, and TNA being on ESPN2, I think that would really help them. But we haven't seen wrestling programming on ESPN. I mean, they play reruns of GWF. I've the past year, I've watched just about every.
20.
Yeah, the past year I've watched just about every GWF rerun. They played them. They play like marathons, and I DVR the entire marathon and catch up with it. And so, yeah, I've watched the marathons, and I remember watching it back, 20 years ago. And JBL, he was Justin Hawk back then. Iceman King Parsons was big. Scott Putski was a big name back then. Of course, the son of Ivan Putski. They added some very interesting Hollywood, I'll tell you what, real quick. We're getting on format again, but this is always fun chat to.
That's what we do.
Go off. Yeah, that's what we do. But here's the thing: for all our listeners, YouTube Hollywood John Tatum. I don't know if anyone remembers this guy, Hollywood John Tatum. I think that John Tatum was one of the best heels ever. There's something about Hollywood John Tatum. He did some work in some territories back in the 80s, and he was in the GWF in the 90s. He was tag team champions with Rod Price, who ended up being GWF champion. But Hollywood John Tatum, his charisma, he said that he was like a 80-something degree black belt. His mic work was really funny. He played to the crowd. He had all of the nuances of a really good heel. And I think YouTube Hollywood John Tatum, everyone who's listening, everyone who will listen on through wrestling, through Blitz Report or Wrestling Inc. or iTunes, YouTube Hollywood John Tatum. And I guarantee you, and tweet me at Crave Wrestling what you think. You might think he's a horrible heel, but just do it. Just do it for the sake of at least checking him out. Hollywood John Tatum, a really, really, really good heel. So, yeah, I mean, those were the days. I mean, back in the early 90s, they had some. There were some really. And remember the USWA with Jerry Lawler? And, had USW. What were you saying with the USWA?
Memphis.
Yeah, yep, Memphis territory. And USWA had some good names, too. They had, of course, Jeff Jarrett was a big name in the USWA. Even Mabel for a second, he was a big name in the USWA. Eric Embry was another big name in the USWA. Even Smothers. Nation of Domination even had their start in the USWA.
Yep. A lot of people.
There was a tons of names that went through the Memphis territory too for the USWA. Jeff Gaylord, he was another one. Austin Idol was another one. USWA. Yeah, you got me talking about territories now, man. That was
Oh, wow. Hey, that's a great topic. That's what we need to talk about. That's keep that stuff alive. That's
man.
That's what wrestling is.
Absolutely. That was a really, really good nostalgic trip. Now we got to talk about Sin Cara defeating Damian Sandow with Scooby-Doo.
what
a difference 20
What?
What a difference 20 years make. No, ladies and gentlemen, this is no typo. Scooby-Doo with Sin Cara defeated Damian Sandow, and the match was literally like 2 minutes long. Poor Sandow. For someone last year, less than a year ago, winning the Money in the Bank match for the World Heavyweight Championship, cashing it in on a Raw against John Cena, possibly winning, however he lost, and what a difference a year makes, man. Nowadays, I mean, he's clawing and scratching for wins, and he loses to Sin Cara with Scooby-Doo in like 2 minutes. Wow, like I said, what a difference a year makes.
Yeah, I'm supposed to comment on that. You know, Sin Cara, wow. But Scooby-Doo, come on. I mean, I said earlier that I thought Monday Night Raw was a great Raw. It really had great matches. But the whole Scooby-Doo thing, why? Who booked that? Who said that would be a good idea? I understand that they want to cater to kids now. But what kid, you could love John Cena as a kid or whoever they like and say, oh, Scooby-Doo's cool too.
Yeah.
I mean, really, that doesn't exist in the wrestling world. I mean.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean.
That was a horrible. That was such a WCW move.
Yeah. And of course, I understand that it was to promote the, you know, the DVD that's coming
out. Scooby-Doo,
all
right.
The movie that has John Cena and Triple H and Kane and Brodus Clay.
King's Island?
I believe. Yeah, exactly. And I understand that, but come on now. Well, Sin Cara's in the movie, too. That's why Scooby-Doo came out with them. But, I mean, for all of this, just for Sin Cara to squash Damian Sandow, quite sad. Quite sad, and you know, I understand that wrestling's all about sponsors, and you know, advocates, you know, that's watching your product, that's going to put money, you know, in their product. I get it. It's, you know, it's a national, it's a publicly traded organization now, and there's stocks, and I get it. I get it. It's all a PR move. It's all about catering to the kids. It's all about partnering with, you know, major organizations and, you know, enhancing the PR aspect of it. I get it. But like I said, man, just what a difference 20 year makes from talking about all of those promotions where there was some good wrestling to Sin Cara and Scooby-Doo. Just,
yeah.
This is where we're at,
Derek. Miserable.
Yeah.
Even that made me just change the channel. And Triple H comes out later, and he's all tough, and give me a break.
I'm surprised that we didn't see Shaggy. I mean, that's
Where was Daphne? I mean, at least give us something.
Thelma. You know, and all of those Scooby-Doo characters,
Scrappy.
The kids loved it. The kids loved it, and that's what it's all about these days. So, and then we saw a match that wasn't much better right after that. Los Matadores defeating Rybacksel. Mind you, on SmackDown, Rybacksel helped Kane beat up the Shield. And so they were granted a title match on SmackDown, but they lose to Los Matadores. Granted, the Shield was there and they distracted them, but come on. I mean, Los Matadores, what are they there for? What's the point? They have no time. El Torito's he's not over no more. He's not popular. Los Matadores is just a lost cause. And they still manage to beat Rybacksel from Beverly Hills Cop.
That's disgusting. I mean, that's horrible. What does that make Rybacksel? I mean, that makes Ryback just look, and Curtis Axel, and we've been ripping on them. Not so much ripping, but just saying, what are they doing with these guys? And they're doing nothing with them. Nothing. They could be doing something, but they're not. And they're just, from what we thought they were a few months ago, they are that much lower now. You understand what I'm saying?
Indeed.
Wow.
And I think that we made a reference before of it reminding us, the name reminding us of Beverly Hills Cop. And it's just that every time I hear Rybacksel now, I mean, they're worth joking about, because every time I hear them now, it's
they're a joke.
So with that being said, let's take a moment of silence for Rybacksel, or maybe not a moment of silence. That was more exciting than Rybacksel.
That was awesome.
That pretty much says it right there. That moment, that little 20 seconds of the Beverly Hills Cop theme was more exciting than Rybacksel. Moving forward, Triple H got a comment in the chat room. Remember how over Ryback was? I'll never understand why they kill certain characters like they do. Fantastic point. And here's the thing about Ryback. He wasn't even supposed to originally be over. He was going over jobbers, like 2-3 jobbers. he was going over, and then he went over my boy Tyler Rex and Kurt Hawkins, and Tyler Rex did a really good job explaining, you know, the fact that, you know, Laurinaitis or Triple H, you know, gave them that opportunity to be on a pay-per-view with them because, you know, they weren't really being televised and that was their moment, and Ryback was getting a little bit of a push. But he wasn't even originally supposed to be over until John Cena got injured, because it was supposed to be John Cena and CM Punk at Hell in a Cell in 2012, I believe. That, yeah, 2012. And, or was that 2000, and, yeah, it was 2012, I believe. Yeah, 2012, when it was Hell in a Cell, Ryback against Curtis, Ryback against CM Punk, and that was originally supposed to be Cena and CM Punk, but Cena was injured. And so they just threw, they just thrusted Ryback to us, and initially many people were like, you know, what? Who is this? And then the whole Feed Me More caught up, and then CM Punk was such a crawly heel that Ryback was over. And I tell you what, man, that the moment where your boy, the general manager of Raw, Maddox, Brad Maddox, the moment that he gave, when he was still refereeing and he pulled the heel card and gave him the low blow, that was the start of the end. And what really, really hurt Ryback was the fact that that was his moment to win the title. They could have pushed him similar to Goldberg, because he was so over that if they gave him the title, it would have helped how over he was. He was really, really, really over. And people bought into the whole Feed Me More. You had the whole crowd chanting Feed Me More, and it worked. And if they gave him the title at that time, it would have really helped his career and propelled his career to being a solidified top player. But that helped. I mean, that hurt when Maddox cost him the title, and then of course the next month is when the Shield came. And that really hurt Ryback, because he got the Shield interrupt them at Survivor Series, and then they won against him and Team Hell No at TLC in December, and then January he went against CM Punk in a TLC match, and they cost him that match, and then he lost to Mark Henry at WrestleMania, and that was ridiculous. He tried to get him up in the Shell Shock, and Mark Henry just fell on him. That's how the match ended. It was horrible. And then he turned heel, and it was just it was horrible. And then the Rumble, as the chat room's mentioning now, the Rumble, when it came down to Cena and Ryback last year when Cena won, there was absolutely no point I've said this many times, absolutely no point for John Cena to win the Royal Rumble, because here's the thing, this is what could have happened, this is what should have happened and by all means could have happened. Similar to Royal Rumble of 2000 and, what was it, 2012 that Sheamus won? Yeah, because Del Rio won 2011, Sheamus won 2012. So
yeah.
Jericho was runner-up, but Jericho ended up getting the WWE title match against CM Punk at WrestleMania. Sheamus got the World Heavyweight Championship match against Daniel Bryan. That could have happened. The same thing could have happened the year after. John Cena could have been runner-up, could have got the WWE Championship match against The Rock, and Ryback could have got the World Heavyweight Championship match against Alberto Del Rio. Granted, Alberto Del Rio was champ at that time, and he was a babyface, but, I mean, he could have easily turned heel between Royal Rumble and WrestleMania. So it could have been Ryback versus Alberto Del Rio for the World Heavyweight Championship, and Ryback could have won the World Heavyweight Championship, but they dropped the ball on that too. So now we got to see him and Curtis Axel, and if they came out with the Beverly Hills Cop theme song, maybe I'll like them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'd like them too. And like you said, I mean, they used to be something you could almost get behind. Not so much Curtis Axel, even though you want to because it's Mr. Perfect Son. However, they just didn't bill him right. He was you just couldn't get behind him. Ryback, you could almost get behind him, almost like the Goldberg taste, like you mentioned. But it just didn't. They didn't book him right. Now he's a joke. They're fighting El Matadores, and who needs that in their resume? Nobody.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an absolute joke. So, honestly, not the best choice for those guys, and it's just going to continue to be a downfall, and that's a shame. That's a shame.
Unfortunately, absolutely.
For them.
Yeah, because I really don't see anything going on with that, with that at all. What was Steve Austin's tag team partner? Who was Steve Austin's tag team partner in the WCW, and what were their names? Who was Steve Austin's tag team partner, championship tag team partners in the WCW, and what were their names, is the trivia question on deck right now. Then we get the Triple H interview with Michael Cole in the ring. And the ad, good job, chat room. Brian Pillman and the Hollywood Blondes. Absolutely. Looks like we're having a little competition in the chat room trying to figure out who answers first. So I like that. Keep that up. Absolutely. All right, so Triple H interview with Michael Cole in the ring. We get the advent of the reality era, and that was hashtagged almost immediately. It was a good interview. I think Triple H pulled a really, really good heel promo there. Talked about the reality era, and hey, kudos to Triple H at that point. I think he's healing it up as much as he can to really push Daniel Bryan, and I like it. I think it's a great idea, and that was a good segment.
Yeah, it was a good segment. I liked it. I always like to see Triple H, and even in his bad guy role, it's just I like Triple H. He's rude, he's mean, you love him, you hate him. But he's been creating quite a stir for himself. He's been kind of like the spoiled stepchild type of role. However, I think it's going to really play into the part, and let's see where that goes. So he's playing it really well. I want to see where it goes, and I was really a big fan of it last night and thought that it really picked up Raw where it needed to be picked up at that point to really make a stellar show.
Absolutely. Next, we got Cody Rhodes defeating your boy.
No, that didn't happen. No.
Yeah.
Cody Rhodes. Fandango needs to get his act together.
Yeah, he needs to get his act together for sure. And to be honest with you, I don't think that he'll ever get his act together, honestly, because I don't think Fandango will ever. I don't think that he'll ever be anybody relevant again. When are you going to admit that? I guess that's my question to you. When are you going to admit that Fandango is a nobody?
I'll admit it when I see him on TNA. Ooh.
Okay.
I didn't mean that.
Okay.
I didn't mean that because Kurt Angle's with TNA. Oh, I wish Kurt Angle would come back to WWE. How glorious would that be?
Kurt Angle's...
Everybody, you would jump out of your chair.
It would be nice to see one last hurrah at a WrestleMania, not not some frequent Raws and SmackDowns. I don't want another run by Kurt Angle. I would like another WrestleMania appearance by Kurt Angle. Speaking of that, it's sidebar just a little bit again. I really, really like what they're doing with Hulk Hogan. I really like Hulk Hogan's position right now. Not too much of him to get tired of him quick, but enough to keep the nostalgia. He's not there every week. He comes in for about 5 minutes and does his, you know, his shtick, and the whole what you're going to do, still bringing out the boas with the glasses and the shirt. You know, I think we're seeing just enough of him. And a very interesting point, he was recently interviewed and he said that he would never do the leg drop again. So I know that he has really bad hips. And so Hogan without the leg drop is like a hamburger with just one bun. That's basically the best way I can describe it. That's Hogan without his leg drop. It's just something missing, but at least he's coming out and giving us the nostalgia, and that's why he still gets all those Hogan chants. That's the reason why people are still, you know, chanting like crazy when he does the ear thing, and it works. And the fact that we don't see too much of him is a really good thing for me.
Oh, yeah, it's a good thing because you don't want to get oversaturated, like you said. And, you know, it's great to see him come out. You hear the music play, and you're just like, wow, this is something. Because it's ever been like every other week, and they don't oversaturate it. Same thing with The Undertaker. They're playing it well with the veterans coming back and so forth, so... That should be a good thing about WrestleMania, the modern era. I don't know, but at least with WrestleMania, you're going to have the veterans there. It's going to be a great time. So you have that to look forward to.
This is not the modern era. Is now called the Scooby Doo era, Derek.
Scooby Doo era. Oh, seriously, that's what they probably call it for like the next 5 years.
Yes,
WWE, Scooby Doo.
Yes, it's the Scooby-Doo era, absolutely. Next trivia question is, before the UWF, it was called what? Before UWF, the Universal Wrestling Federation was called what? All right, let's go next into the, speaking of Hogan, the Miz Interrupts gets tossed out. Yeah, USWA, incorrect chat room. Oh, surprise, surprise. Next, we get Big Show versus Titus O'Neil. I want to take a little bit of time into this. I just wrote an article about this on Bleacher Report today. What is the point of a Titus O'Neil heel turn when you're going to have him lose every single week now? I think he beat Dolph Ziggler and he beat Zack Ryder on SmackDown a couple times, and after that, no, nothing. He loses against the Big Show just about every week now, and I really, really don't understand why the WWE would spend so much time turning him heel for nothing. And he could have been a good mid-card, solid mid-card heel. And I've said it before. I think I said it even on the 100th episode. Speaking of that, real quick, 2-year anniversary is coming up in a couple of weeks, and we will have another roundtable discussion. That was very, very fun when we had that on the 100th episode, and some fun things in store coming up for the 2-year episode. The Tuesday after WrestleMania. But Titus O'Neil, he has the ability to become a really good solid heel. And I said this on the 100th anniversary show on the roundtable discussion. I have no idea why they didn't book a Titus O'Neil and Big E match at WrestleMania. That really could have went well. That feud could have went well. But now, just like they did with Brodus Clay, just like they did with Sandow, just like they did with Ryback, push, pull, plugged. Plug, pulled. Push, plug, pulled.
Push, plug, pull. Yeah, Damian Sandow. You know, it's kind of crazy. Where is Damian Sandow now anymore? You don't really see him. It's just kind of a disgrace what they've done with him. Where are we going to go from here, Chris? I really want to see someone like Damian Sandow. He almost kind of reminds me of Leap and Lanny Poffo. If I can pull somebody out of the hat.
That's
like
a good
that.
Comparison.
Exactly.
I never thought of that.
Have we mentioned
that's a
that
really
before?
Wow.
Yeah. So,
kudos, Derek. Yeah, good call on that one.
So,
Leaping
like
Lanny
to see him, so let's lead off that. Let's go.
Even his, with his frisbees, with his
exactly.
Poems on there.
Yeah.
Oh, the frisbee poems, and he would have the frisbee. He would have the poems taped to the frisbees, and he would throw them out and do his cartwheels. Yeah, Leaping Lanny Poffo was just, and he was one of the most awkward looking. Lanny Poffo was just an awkward looking person.
His finishing
move was like a moonsault, but he had one leg on the top rope and the other leg on the middle rope. It was just a weird-looking moonsault. It was just Lanny Poffo. I mean, kudos to the Poffo family, him, Randy, and Angelo,
yeah, right.
The dad. But just weird. He was just a weird look. Man, and his gear, too. He had, like, white tights with, like, white boots, no knee pads, no elbow. Just a weird-looking dude, man. When he was a genius, it was better just because he was a heel and it worked for him. He didn't look too awkward. But just Lanny Poffo was just a weird-looking guy. Simple as that.
He was rocking the mustache.
He was. He was sporting the heck out of that mustache for sure. But I tell you what, even in his weirdness, he would be more popular in the history of the WWE than Damian Sandow will.
Definitely.
Lanny Poffo has a better legacy. He has rarely any legacy, but he has a better legacy than Damian Sandow. And the crazy part of that, Damian Sandow won the Money in the Bank, but he still doesn't have a big enough – he doesn't have a legacy better than Lanny Poffo. So, and that's sad, too. That's really sad. I mean, no disrespect to Lanny Poffo, although he looked awkward, but, I mean, you know, he was a good wrestler. He was agile, but he just looked really weird. All right, let's go to John Cena versus Luke Harper. Very interesting end to this. Luke Harper went against John Cena on SmackDown, and John Cena won. It was actually a pretty good match. I write my SmackDown review every week on WrestlingInc.com. And on this week, I was wondering why they did the rematch on Raw, because I was thinking, they wouldn't want Harper to lose twice. But the way that they did, the way that they ended this match was actually pretty good, and it kept us thinking who's going to win, because Cena beating Eric Rowan last week on Raw, and then Harper on SmackDown, and then possibly Harper again, but the lights going out and him being in a goat mask. There's a good and a bad to this. The good is that it creates more suspense of who's going to win. The bad is that I don't think that Cena's going to put Bray Wyatt over. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't know if it should happen. I suppose that it would be the better idea. However, Cena, WrestleMania 30, feel good moment. It just reeks of Cena winning. And to be honest with you, as much as I'm not a Cena fan, I wouldn't be all the way opposed to that, just because I don't think Bray Wyatt is WrestleMania win caliber yet. I think that they made a huge mistake last year when they did that with your boy Fandango. You have to admit that. When they had Fandango beat Jericho, that was a huge mistake. And I hope that they don't do it again by having Bray Wyatt defeat John Cena. Now, granted, Bray Wyatt is much more established than Fandango was last year, but I still don't think that Bray Wyatt is ready to have that big WrestleMania victory yet.
No, I totally agree. And it's like, it's WrestleMania. Of course, John Cena is going to come out the victor. They're not going to put Bray Wyatt over. That wouldn't do anything for business. And it just, it's kind of a silly angle to begin with.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a throwaway match, so there's really not a whole lot to say that no one else that listens to the show and understands wrestling knows that this is going to be something. This is going to be a phenomenal match. Yeah, it could be, but probably not. It'll just be John Cena winning because it's WrestleMania, and Bray Wyatt's not going to get over because he just doesn't have his dues in yet, I suppose. I don't know.
That's
could be wrong. Anything can happen in the world wrestling entertainment.
That's true. But I'm going to tell you what. I think this has the potential to be a good match. It won't be as good as Daniel Bryan and Bray Wyatt was the Royal Rumble. That's still up there for match of the year. I think that match and the Shield versus the Wyatts at Elimination Chamber, I think those are the best two matches so far of the year. Anyone in the chat room or Twitter, if you can think of any other match, feel free to say it. But I think that those are the two best matches right now. And Daniel Bryan and Bray Wyatt was just at the Royal Rumble. That was a phenomenal match. And for Bray Wyatt to beat Daniel Bryan clean, I think that was his moment of the year so far. And I don't think that he'll get another one at WrestleMania. I remember, I think it was 2004, if I'm not mistaken, or 2005, when the Boogeyman was really popular, and he had a Royal Rumble and a WrestleMania win. That was such horrible idea. That was such a horrible idea. I believe he beat JBL at the Royal Rumble, and he beat Booker T. It was like a handicap match, Booker T and Charmel against the Boogeyman. And he beat them at WrestleMania. Wow. What roles? I mean, talk about your payday for Booker T and JBL. Wow. If I came in knowing that I was going to lose to the Boogeyman at WrestleMania, it would be really, really hard for me to accept any dollar amount. That would be rough. Losing to the Boogeyman, that would be really, really rough. And Booker T did that at the WrestleMania. Talk about paying your dues after being multiple time champion. I don't know what that was all about. That was a horrible idea. Next, we have Naomi defeating AJ Lee by countout. Due to AJ Lee walking out and Vicky Guerrero announcing a Vicky Guerrero Diva Invitational. They're just throwing everybody at WrestleMania 30 this year. I guess just because it's the big 30 and it's such a grand spectacle. They got a 30-man battle royal. They've got a multi-diva Divas title match, which I am finally happy that they are showcasing the Divas title at WrestleMania. That was definitely long overdue.
Finally.
So I'm okay. I'm okay with it. I'm okay with the fact that the title is on the line. And they are showcasing the Divas at WrestleMania in a title-related form.
Oh, yeah. Finally, that's great. They're having an invitational. I'm not a huge Diva fan, but I can see that they're trying to do something with this, you know. You have AJ Lee probably come out victorious, maybe not, but it should be a decent Divas match, hopefully on the biggest stage of them all. Kudos to that. Vicky Guerrero, never a fan of her coming out, but she kind of put it together, so we'll see where it goes.
Indeed. The answer is not correct yet. It was the UWF. And what was the UWF before it was UWF? I'll give you a hint. It became the UWF, and it formerly was this before it was UWF, and they were both owned by Cowboy Bill Watts. It was the Cowboy Bill Watts, and WWE's even came out with a DVD about it recently, which I happened to own, which is really, really good. So next we have Rollins and Ambrose against the Real Americans. Really good match here. There you go. Great job, chat room, Mid-South. That is the correct answer. Rollins and Ambrose defeating the Real Americans. Now, for those who missed SmackDown, basically there was a four-team match to determine the number one contender for the tag team titles. It was between Rybacksel, 3MB, which was Jinder Mahal and Drew McIntyre, The Shield, which was Rollins and Ambrose, and the fourth team was the Real Americans. So 3MB, Rybacksel, Real Americans, Shield. And throughout the match was good, and then Kane comes out, and basically Reigns and Kane fight up to the stage, the beginning, the front of the stage, and the New Age Outlaws jump Rollins and Reigns, and all the other teams jump Ambrose. Well, the New Age Outlaws jumps Roman Reigns, and the rest of the teams jump Ambrose and Rollins in the ring. And so basically their retribution, they came to get their retribution on Raw. So that's why they beat up Rybacksel. That's why they triple powerbomb Ryback, like he hasn't felt those before from the Shield, and then that's why they beat up Real Americans as well, and triple powerbombed just Cesaro. Now they triple powerbomb Cesaro on the table. And then Kane and New Age Outlaws come out and announces the six-man match at WrestleMania 30. Now, I'm not a fan of this six-man match. I said it before, I wish that they would have had the Shield go against each other for the U.S. title. One, that would have showcased the mid-card championship. Two, that would have really ascended Roman Reigns as a really a nice, slow, strategic ascension into being one of the top faces of the company, similar to a Rock having a mid-card title first and then becoming, you know, even more and more popular as a baby face. And then thirdly, it would have dropped the title from Dean Ambrose. He's had it for too long and he hasn't defeated it. So he hasn't defended it hardly ever. So there would have been a lot of good parts in having a triple threat match. But now we get, and of course, there's been reported on Wrestling Inc. that the New Age Outlaws wanted to work with the Shield. And here's their opportunity. I know that Derek's a big fan of the Attitude Era. And
oh, yeah.
And the nostalgia from the New Age. And the nostalgia, Hogan's nostalgia is okay, but the New Age Outlaws, not so much. Hopefully this is their last hurrah. I really hope it is, because I mean, they're still in good shape, but this isn't 15 years ago, and you can really spare me all of your, oh, you didn't know antics and all of that. You can really spare me, and I really hope this is the last time we'll see the New Age Outlaws in a wrestling role. Now, they're really good agents, so they can be on NXT. They can even wrestle NXT if they want to. But as far as the main stage, no. No way. And just Kane and the New Age Outlaws against the Shield at WrestleMania, I'm not interested.
Yeah. I'm not interested either. Too much. But, yeah, I understand what you say about the Attitude Era. I love the New Age Outlaws. but it does get oversaturated after a bit. So maybe 10 years from now, you'll be okay with him, kind of like how you like Hulk Hogan coming back?
No, because Hogan's a larger-than-life figure.
I know.
Hulk Hogan, he's an entity of itself. New Age Outlaws, I mean, they were really instrumental in the Attitude Era. Don't get me wrong. They were really instrumental in the Attitude Era. They were one of the best tag teams, you know, ever. And it was good to see them back at Old School Raw in January.
Yep.
That
was a good time.
2 months later, not so much. Too much, too long. So next we get the Brock Lesnar Undertaker segment. Really good segment here. Undertaker getting the best of Brock Lesnar. So honestly, what this means to me is that Lesnar is going to lay out the Undertaker next week somehow, just to cause more suspense that Lesnar is going to end the streak. Now, like I say all the time, the streak will not end, but at least it's good to create as much suspense as you possibly can to make it seem like someone's going to end the streak. And this week, Undertaker got the upper hand. Next week, I got a good feeling that Brock Lesnar is going to lay out the Undertaker.
Yeah, probably. That was kind of cool last night, kicking the casket, and he wasn't in there, and then all of a sudden he appeared out of there, and all the druids. Classic Undertaker. I enjoy seeing it. It just reminds me, this is WrestleMania season now. This is what the Undertaker does around WrestleMania, so great for that. That was really good. Next week, we'll see what else happens. So, leading up to WrestleMania, this is typical Undertaker hijinks, if you want to call that. So, it's interesting. I like it a lot. And the streak will not end, not by Brock Lesnar. But I enjoy seeing the build-up. It's a good time.
Indeed, indeed. All right, let's go to real quick SmackDown. Like I say, every week, SmackDown Review is on WrestlingInc.com, so is the Impact Wrestling debut. I said that too many times. Impact Wrestling Review and the SmackDown Review every week on WrestlingInc.com. Zooming through Impact Wrestling, Bobby Lashley, his debut match, and he loses. His return to TNA, he loses, albeit by disqualification, but it's still a loss because of Willow coming out. Spare me, Willow, really. The Gunner James Storm segment was really, really good, very poignant. Lady Tapa's gone from the company, which is a bad decision. She could have been a really good part of the Knockout division. Angela Love, Velvet Sky segment, Beautiful People Reunite. Then we see further in the show that Angelina rams Madison Rayne to some lockers, so that goes to show that they're heels. Magnus defeating Samoa Joe with help from Abyss. We'll see where that leads. On SmackDown, gets Fernando defeating your boy Fandango. Fandango losing again. Ziggler and Sandow. Sandow loses again. I explained the tag team match. Miz TV had the Big Show, and then there was like a mini Andre the Giant Battle Royal. Alberto Del Rio defeating Big E. Clean win, non-title. I really don't understand why. There's absolutely no point to just keep pushing Alberto Del Rio. I've said it before, Big E's the future of the WWE, and beating Alberto Del Rio would have really helped him. For some reason, they have Sin Cara pin Alberto Del Rio on Raw before. Sin Cara, ladies and gentlemen, pinning Alberto Del Rio. But you can't have the Intercontinental Champion do it. Absolutely horrible. And then the end was John Cena defeating Luke Harper, which once again was a good match. All right, looks like we don't have time for ROH, but we're going to get to WrestleMania 17. Oh, boy. It was the same place where SmackDown was. Well, the same city where SmackDown was, Houston, Texas. And it was the... And Steve Austin was the man in 17 because he was Texas's own. He's from Austin, but he was Texas's own, so he had the fan pop from there. And as far as the card is concerned, Chris Jericho defeating William Regal to retain the Intercontinental Championship. Taz and Right to Censor, Taz and the Acolytes defeating Right to Censor. Kane defeating Raven and Big Show to capture the Hardcore Championship. I remember that big elbow drop from the stage. Eddie Guerrero defeating Test to win the European Championship with help from Dean Malenko and Perry Saturn. Kurt Angle defeating Chris Benoit in a singles match. That was really good. Chyna defeating Ivory to capture the Women's Championship. Shane McMahon defeating Vince McMahon in the street fight. That was a really good match. Shane doing the Van Terminator. TLC match for the Tag Team Championship. Edge and Christian capturing the titles by defeating the Dudleys and the Hardys. The Battle Royal, the Sheiky Baby. Iron Sheik winning, looking absolutely horrible, winning the Gimmick Battle Royal. Undertaker defeating Triple H. That was a really good match. And then the big heel turn by Steve Austin siding with Vince McMahon and defeating The Rock to win the WWE Championship. That was a long match, too. The match was almost a half an hour long. But to me, just the My Way music that was leading up to the pay-per-view, the interviews that they would do with Rock and Austin before it was a babyface versus babyface, which always has a good appeal for a WrestleMania main event. The card, top to bottom, was really good overall. Of course, there was a couple of glitches, but overall, good wrestling. Jericho and Regal was good. The Hardcore title was good. Benoit and Angle was really good. McMahon's was really good. TLC, even the European title was a championship match, was a solid match. Taker and Triple H was really, really good. It was actually one of Undertaker's best WrestleMania matches. I would say probably around number five. I think the Michaels, both of the Michaels are number one. The Hell in a Cell with Triple H was good, really good. And the year before with Triple H was good, too. Let me see, 27 and 28 was with Triple H. 25 and 26 was with Michaels. So those are the top four. And I think 17 with Triple H is makes a top five. And then, of course, Austin Rock. What a fantastic pay-per-view to me, and it doesn't get any better than 17 for me.
For you, yeah, 17 was absolutely spectacular. I mean, it was just an all-around great pay-per-view. Just as you mentioned, every match had its own special spice. Steve Austin defeating The Rock, probably one of the best main events of all time. I mean, those two together just always tore the crowd down. They just made it the best. Chris Jericho and William Regal, I remember that match. That was absolutely spectacular. Probably one of Chris Jericho's best, as well as William Regal. Kane defeating Raven, Big Show. Eddie Guerrero defeating Test. And Kurt Angle defeating Chris Benoit. That was a match for the ages at that time. I mean, that was just so phenomenal. WrestleMania 17 absolutely delivered. Like you said, Edge and Christian defeat the Dudley Boys and Hardy Boys and Tables, Ladders, and Chairs. Absolutely one of the best times in tag team history.
Yep. Well said. Absolutely. I was just, like I said, it just doesn't get any better than 17 for me. 17 was just such an amazing WrestleMania. You want to talk about the gold standard of WrestleMania from top to bottom as far as a card is concerned. WrestleMania 17 is the way to go. And then 18, it drops. You get RVD defeating William Regal for the Intercontinental Championship. DDP defeating Christian to retain the European Championship. Maven versus Goldust to a no contest for the hardcore match for the hardcore championship. And then Kurt Angle defeating Kane. And then Undertaker defeating Ric Flair, which was a good match. Had a nice, patented, crisp spine buster by Arn Anderson. See, he showed that he still had it. You know, he has an issue with his hand because of a nerve damage, but he still showed that he had it as far as that quick, swift spine buster. It looked really, really good. And Ric Flair, man, he held his own against The Undertaker. And I remember that year I've watched interviews about that, and Ric Flair said he felt so privileged because back in 2002, Taker said that he did not want to work with anybody except for Ric Flair. He wanted to work with Ric Flair. That match on a WrestleMania card will go in the annals of history just because of the names. The Undertaker versus Ric Flair at WrestleMania. That alone just sounds absolutely amazing. And the match absolutely delivered. Edge defeating Booker T in a singles match. I wasn't a big fan of that outcome because I wanted Booker T to win. Austin defeating Scott Hall. Now, it seemed like it was going to be Steve Austin versus Kevin Nash. And Kevin Nash, it seemed like he was injured a bit, but he seemed like he was okay because I remember it was the NWO versus Austin and Rock at the Raw beforehand. So I don't know why they chose to do Austin versus Scott Hall. It was just really weird decision. Speaking of Scott Hall, I'll get to him after this WrestleMania recap here. Billy and Chuck defeated the APA, the Dudleys, and the Hardys in the Four Corners Elimination match. I wasn't a big fan of that. Rock defeating Hulk Hogan. I mean, there you go. I mean, that match, Rock and Hulk Hogan, was one of the best matches in WrestleMania history at 18. I tell you what, for as much as 18 wasn't very good overall, that match compensated for the entire card. That was such an amazing match in Toronto. And then Jazz defeating Trish and Lita in a triple threat match to retain the Women's Championship. And then Triple H defeating Chris Jericho to win the Undisputed Championship. Of course, I wasn't okay with that, but it was a good match. Overall, it was just a middle-of-the-road pay-per-view as far as overall, but the Rock and Hogan match just superseded any type of lackluster element of the pay-per-view to me. And speaking of Scott Hall, I'm not okay with them inducting Razor Ramon in the Hall of Fame. They didn't show anything Scott Hall, anything NWO, maybe because they might induct NWO separately. But that would mean that Scott Hall would get two rings, and Ric Flair is the only one that has two rings, and Scott Hall would. And so I don't think that Scott – kudos to Scott Hall. I like Scott Hall. Razor Ramon was one of my favorite characters back in the early 90s. But I don't think that Scott Hall deserves two Hall of Fame rings. And inducting him as Razor Ramon, I don't think that's a good idea. I'm not a fan of that. Scott Hall's career is bigger than Razor Ramon in his few years that he was in the WWE.
It does, but it almost made his WCW career that much better because he was Razor Ramon and came over to WCW and started up the NWO. So that little tidbit in there, but as far as...
I get it, but if he... that's a good point. But as Razor Ramon, though, not showing any of his career other than Razor Ramon on Raw, I wasn't a big fan of that.
WrestleMania 18 overall, like you said, The Rock and Hollywood Hulk Hogan made that pay-per-view, made probably one of the greatest matches of pay-per-view history. However, the pay-per-view itself wasn't absolutely stellar. Kurt Angle and Kane was decent. The Undertaker and Ric Flair, two absolute legends, but The Undertaker was in his, Get Out of My Yard. What did they call that? I forget. Dead Man Inc.
Yeah,
and,
yard. Yeah.
Didn't care for it. Triple H, Chris Jericho. It was good, but wasn't a main event. So I agree with that. The Rock, Hollywood, Hulk Hogan, one of the best matches, but that was about it for that match, pay-per-view, WrestleMania.
Indeed. Next week we will talk about WrestleMania 19 and 20. And how about this, ladies and gentlemen? We are just a little over a week and a half away from WrestleMania 30. And we are 2 weeks away from the two-year episode on Pancakes and Power Slams. So we have a lot to cover in the next couple of weeks. Stay tuned with us. Thank you, everyone who was in the chat room. Thank you, everyone, for continuing to support Pancakes and Power Slams. We are almost 2 years old. Just amazing. We got so much. We've achieved so much in 2 years. This is just still in our infancy, and we've achieved so much in 2 years. We've had some really great names as interviews. We got tons more people that are going to come down the pike as far as our interview series is concerned. We've had wonderful shows, awesome Flavor of the Week topics, and it's just going to get better. Just thinking about that alone is just so amazing to me. It's just going to get better. 2 years old, and it's going to get better. So continue to support through CraveWrestling@gmail.com. Send us your thoughts. Even if you want to donate through PayPal, we definitely take your donations. We encourage your donations. PayPal, CraveWrestling@gmail.com. Crave Wrestling on Facebook. Join the revolution. Get involved in the trivia. Crave Wrestling on Twitter @CraveWrestling. Let us know your thoughts. We'll give you credit. I'm definitely going to be having some tweet in response to tweet and writing articles about it, more interaction. So stay tuned via Twitter. Of course, WrestlingInc.com. I absolutely am so privileged to be a part of the Wrestling Inc. staff. And, of course, BleacherReport.com. Where I'm a feature columnist there. Just wrote an article today about Titus O'Neil. Check that out. And there you go. Derek, a wonderful co-host as always. And until next week, yes, sir. Until next week, have a great week. Enjoy your week of wrestling. Daddy loves Elijah. And God bless. Goodbye.